Lasers are the future of dentistry, no question. They will be integrated in. So what side of that do you want to be on in some ways, right?
Welcome to the Digital Smile Hub, the podcast that is dedicated to making clinical dentistry simple. Join us as we decode the complexities of dental care by providing actionable insights into the diverse aspects of clinical practice, the latest trends, and the newest technologies. Whether you're a seasoned clinician or just starting out of dental school, listen in on engaging discussions, expert interviews, and a wealth of tips and tricks to enhance your clinical workflows. So turn up that volume and get ready to transform your clinical practice with the Digital Smile Hub. And now, here's your host, Dr. Tim Anderson. Welcome back, everybody, to the podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Tim Anderson, and I'm super jacked to be back here with you this week. We get to talk about a topic that is kind of near and dear to my heart. Now, I've kind of like prided myself in integrating technology and using all these different aspects. And one of the pieces of technology that has impacted my practice in a way that honestly I didn't even realize what it could become is laser dentistry. And, you know, laser dentistry is kind of one of these catch-all phrases that everybody talks about that is like, you know, this laser, that laser, you know, these uses, that uses. And I went into this kind of genre of technology and purchased it for one reason and then was flabbergasted by all of the other uses that it soon became. And what I wasn't really prepared for was how it totally transformed my practice. And honestly, one of the biggest impacts for me was how it simplified the complex, how it took procedures that used to be overwhelming or frustrating and, you know, upset my team, my patients, and really ultimately compromise the clinical outcome. But then all of a sudden, I had a new tool that allowed me to do better clinical dentistry in a more predictable and efficient manner. And lasers have become such an integral part of my practice that I was like, we have got to talk about all things lasers. And there is one guy that has become one of my mentors, one of my close friends that honestly has used multiple lasers, been doing them for decades, is a beta tester for multiple lasers, and really has kind of created a culture around his practice around laser dentistry. And that's Dr. Jeff Rohde out of Santa Barbara, California. Super excited to have you, Jeff. Welcome to the podcast. Man, how are things in California?
Oh, man, it's great. I got to say, I'm really glad to be away from all the pandemic stuff and all the things we were doing for that. It just feels good to kind of be going to work. But otherwise, yeah, I mean, it's an exciting time to be in dentistry, honestly. I mean, there's just so many cool things happening.
What you said right there is like makes me happy because I think right now, you know, especially post-COVID and everything, everybody's like, everything was doom and gloom and all this. And what I keep telling everybody is like, this is the best time to be practicing technology, the patient workflows, what patients want these days. I am so grateful that I don't have to pack an amalgam or do a gold foil or stuff like these. Like, and some of these new dentists are like, what the hell's a gold foil? But we get to do procedures that are like, oh my gosh, AI technology and artificial intelligence is designing things, and our team members are able to, you know, do in-office dentistry that, you know, historically took 10 hours in a lab just to sinter in an oven. So we live in this world that's unbelievable. And one of the aspects of technology that like almost is out of science fiction is this whole concept laser dentistry. And it's one of those topics that I honestly think is so misconstrued because there's so much misinformation out there about what the technology is. And I think that's one of the things I want us to focus is like, let's break it down to the basics of like, hey, you know, I don't have a laser, or hey, maybe I've got my first laser and I'm looking to do more with something else. Talk to us a little bit about what, you know, what the hell is a laser? And, you know, talk to us a little bit about your journey, how you got into lasers and kind of what that's become for your practice.
Well, I definitely agree with what you said about kind of the misconception. I think especially when I got into lasers, there is different laser companies out there that were unfortunately making a lot of pretty amazing claims about what the laser can do. And then I just wasn't seeing it being done. I wasn't finding clinicians who are like, oh my God, this thing's amazing. And I'm so happy about it. And I think what it comes down to, like you said, it is about understanding what the laser's doing from the get-go, right? It's not some magic tool. If anything, I've often described it like a flashlight, right? It's just beams of light, right? Now, very often, most lasers are in the infrared range, so you have the stuff we can see, you know, in terms of wavelengths, we could see all the colors of the rainbow. Then you have like UV and X-ray, gamma ray, all that stuff. And then you have wavelengths that are in the infrared. Think restaurant heating lamp, why the sun feels warm. That's infrared wavelength. And when you go outside and you feel the warmth of the sun, your skin is essentially absorbing that infrared energy. The restaurant heating lamp over a steak is absorbing that that infrared energy. So it actually warms it up, right? And essentially, if you look at any laser out there, what it's doing is picking an absorption level that specifically matches with whatever target you're trying to cut, right? And in some ways, it's not perfectly matched. I mean, it's matched to the target, but not necessarily matched to the application. So let's take, you know, like diode lasers. So diode lasers are basically at a wavelength that the wavelength, when it encounters pigmented things, will highly absorb into that pigmented thing and essentially ablate or vaporize and essentially rip that molecule apart, right? So it's, you know, diode lasers essentially are a laser that is works well in certain tissues. If there's things like hemoglobin, it is a pigmented, you know, thing, so it gets absorbed into that. But really, you know, in my experience, when I had a diode laser, really what you're doing with the diode is you take this little fiber optic, you know, and they're a great entry point too. I mean, I'm not saying diode lasers aren't fantastic, but, you know, you can get a great diode laser for $2,000 and start your laser journey there. And they're usually smaller little boxes. It has like a glass fiber optic tip that goes to some little handpiece. And to really get it to cut, you take something pigmented, just like your articulating paper in the drawer of your operatory, right? You touch the laser to that pigment and it balls up some of the pigment on there. And then that becomes the target. That's what is absorbing that laser energy. So the weird thing about diode lasers is very often in that kind of cutting sense, you're not really lasering anything. You're more using heat. So the energy goes through the little fiber optic tip, hits that ball of pigment, and then heats that glass rod up. So a lot of what diode is doing is basically you're using kind of a red hot poker to drag and cut through tissue by just using heat. And that way it's kind of more like electrosurge, right? In terms of cutting. Great at doing pocket therapy in perio. Great at if you have a little bleeding spot, it's great at cauterization because of the heat. So there's a lot of good things that these lasers do. And it's a great, you know, you want to clear some tissue around instead of packing cord. Amazing for that, right? So no more packing cord in laser dentistry, by the way. You don't have to. I know people love packing cord, but that's over. So that's good. But then you move on to other lasers, like there's some erbium lasers that are attracted to water. So what those lasers are doing is essentially firing a beam at the surface of the tooth. It finds a little water molecule and explodes or vaporizes that the target tissue itself is that water, and then vaporizes that water molecule and then explodes chunks of tooth structure, right? So it's not a very efficient laser, but that's essentially what it's doing. So when you start thinking about when you're going to get a laser, the kind of the question that I like to kind of think about what is, well, what is the wavelength, right? And then number two, what is that wavelength interactive? What is the target tissue? You might hear the term chromophore, but it's what is the target tissue for this laser, and what is the laser itself going to actually be doing in my, you know, treatment room at times, right?
And I think you really talked, you know, you emphasized a point here that I think is really important for listeners to understand, is that ultimately a laser is not a laser. A laser is a very broad definition of a component of physics and light, but ultimately it comes down to your why. Like, why are you interested? Or, you know, one of the things we really focus on with 3D dentists is like, what problem are you trying to solve? Like, what is the strategy of why you're trying to do this? And what's right for me may be different for you, may be different for that. And, you know, from the entry point, like, I ironically think that diodes get a bad rap sometimes. Like you said, they're like the entry drug to getting into this technology. But one of the things I think that you emphasize is that they have very, very great uses because of how well they're absorbed in hemoglobin and pigment. And because of that, they have very good strategic, you know, strategies. And depending on the state that you live in and what the laws and regulations with regards to your team members, one of the things that for diodes in my practice have been totally impactful is on my perio management program with regards to my hygiene team and how my hygienists utilize that heat and that ability to basically destroy bacteria within a pocket. And you can do this atraumatically without even having to activate, you know, so you technically you're not cutting, you're just killing off cells and bacteria. And so even if you're like, okay, I don't know where to start, I don't know what to go. Like for me, I'm like, I looked at my practice, I'm like, hey, we've got a perio program that maybe I'm not getting the results I want. And one of my big things, like you keep doing the same crap over and over again, you get the same result, yet you keep doing it, like, it's just like, that's total insanity. So for me, I looked at my practice like, how can I improve my perio management protocol for my hygiene department? And how can I empower my team to do more technology, do more for our patients in a more predictable fashion? And I got to tell you, they ran with lasers, like the diode laser, and we use dual wavelength diodes in our practice, like to be able to do pocket, you know, when we start looking at low-level laser therapy or, you know, pocket reduction, bacteria reduction within pockets, like that laser technology is fantastic for my hygiene team.
Oh, absolutely.
For me, I soon outgrew that really quickly. And so, and then you talked about, like, with regards to the chromophores and how this technology integrates and why we use it. And it really comes down to, like, what are you trying to do with the laser? Like, what style of dentistry do you currently do? What style of dentistry do you want to do? And I think that's so important for people to understand, is that you can't compare things. Like when we don't understand things, how do we as, you know, consumers make decisions?
It's price. Well, I think that's why I agree. I think that's why it's important to, and this is exactly what you're really good at doing, is kind of getting people's, you know, minds kind of stirring and thinking about what possibilities are. Because I would say when we first got the laser we have, it's a CO2 laser. When we first got that, I had no idea how much more was coming. And you alluded to two things that are kind of interesting. One, my favorite thing about adding technology to our practice is really integrating your whole team. Like I'm a firm believer that your team, you know, it's like, I know doctors out there, they're like, I'm the doctor, you're the team members, don't even touch the equipment. I'm like, no. Like, the more you empower your team, the more you are going to do well as a practice. I mean, this is so key, like with just what you mentioned about diode lasers, you have to integrate the team. And the second thing is, you said what your why is, and I know the hardest thing out there is sometimes like, well, what else am I going to do with this? And the reality is that sometimes these technologies are going to do things you didn't even think you could do, but it makes it easier, right? And in some ways, it makes it not just easier, but it's like, I don't have, there's a couple of things, and we can get into this later, but there's a couple of things that we do with this laser that I don't have any other way to do it. There's no other tool, right? Like if you took my CEREC away, I could still take an impression. Like I can't mill, maybe I can't mill here anymore, but I'm still doing crowns, right? With some of the things we do with lasers, there's not another piece of technology or tool that's even going to do this for me. You know, like just take your perio pocket example with your hygiene team, you know, like Arrestin, maybe, you know, and not reliably working there. Nothing that's going to be better than debriding through there with a laser, right? And so what we've found is that these are easier entry points because the technology is proven now. It's not like, you know, this isn't some fantastical thing. This stuff actually works. And now that we're here, it's like even the stuff I did back in demo, like I couldn't have dreamed we'd be doing this kind of stuff in dental school, but it's easier. You don't need a 6-year oral surgery residency to pick up a hard tissue laser and start doing crown lengthening, for example. You know,
all right. So now you're going down a road where I get really excited, but I do want to take a time out just because I do want to talk about this stuff because ultimately I couldn't agree with you more. Like I literally was talking with my assistant yesterday, or no, it was today, and we were doing a difficult crown prep on a lingual fracture on tooth number 18, where it was just like super subgingival. And I'm sitting there, this guy is just bleeding like crazy. He got tissue that's overgrown because he fractured it a week ago. And so I'm like, I'm sitting here with my assistant. I'm like, how on earth would we have managed this case like as predictably as we have if we didn't have this technology? Like, I honestly, right. I don't even know. Like, there's ceramic burrs and you could do all some crazy stuff in cutting up tissue and there's hemostatic agents. But I'm like, I just don't know how I could do it. But before we get down that road, because I do want to go there, we talked about diodes. So I always look at lasers. We got like four main categories of lasers. You know, we've got our low, like, and they all kind of like ramp up on the spectrum of absorption and like their wavelengths. So we've got on the lower end, we've got our diode lasers, which, as you mentioned, are very highly absorbed, hemoglobin, blood, that kind of stuff. Talk to me about like the next level up of like our ND YAGs and then the level above that of like the erbiums and then the CO2 class.
Right.
Like what are they? What do they absorb? Who are they targeted to? And then after that, let's dive into what your journey of what laser you're currently now going to and how you're doing the crazy things you're doing nowadays.
Yeah. So I would say the next level up from there, as you mentioned, is something like Perio-Laser from Millennium's fantastic laser. It's geared toward essentially doing pocket therapy, and they're seeing some great results when you truly decontaminate. They have a great protocol that they follow. So when you can truly decontaminate the pocket, you get results like, you know, some vertical regain of bone tissue, right? A reduction of pockets without necessarily having to flap from ear to ear, right? So that's kind of the next level up.
So one of my other mentors is Rick Sullivan, who's just amazing. For those of you familiar with 3D Dentist family, know who Rick is. That's Sully's dad. He is a hardcore ND YAG user because he loves his LINAP procedure. So if you've heard of LINAP, that is the laser that they're really focusing with. It's that it targets that tissue, that regeneration. It's great because of the physics of what's being absorbed. Like, I think that's so important to understand that, like, why you can't do LINAP with a diode is not because a diode isn't good. It's because the physics of the wavelength are not absorbed the same. That is such a fundamental understanding that I think we need to know.
Right. And there's great evidence. I mean, you can go on PubMed and just look, like, geek out one afternoon and look up photobiomodulation, and you'll just see hundreds and hundreds of articles on how these lasers are doing more than just cutting. They're actually stimulating the tissue for basically better healing. You know, that's the thing, you know, we kind of gloss over sometimes, but let's go pound for pound, scalpel versus laser. Anything you cut with a laser is going to heal faster, right? It's just across the board. It's true, right? Partially, I think, because you're also killing off bacteria, which helps the healing process, but you're stimulating the idea with photobiomodulation is you're kind of ramping up these cells to produce more ATP, which creates better healing. So geek out on that. So maybe that's a whole other podcast.
I think the low-level photobiomodulation is a total... Because, I mean, you talk about the impact it can have. Like, it goes so far beyond just dentistry, is what I get excited about. So, keep going.
So then level up to, quote, hard tissue lasers, right? So now you have something like an erbium laser that's, again, we talked about this, is attracted to water. So what else is, what is water in? Well, we have a little water in two structure. There's water in cell structure, right? There's water in bone, right? So if I want to cut, the way these lasers kind of worked is they do great at cutting soft tissue, but there's kind of an explosive effect to these lasers that basically, like, the way this laser cuts like enamel is the beam fires at the tooth. It finds a little bit of water on the surface of that tooth and explodes, and by collateral damage will basically blow a chunk of tooth structure off. And same with tissue, like it'll cut tissue, but it's a little more jagged, a little more raggedy, but it absolutely can cut all that stuff, including bones. So you start thinking like crown lengthening, things like that is an easier onboard. Perilase is great, but it doesn't cut bone, so it does somewhat limit the application. Again, going back to, okay, how do we think about these lasers? What am I going to do with it? The fact that now I have access to cutting, you know, more, you know, biological parts of the mouth is kind of significant. But that technology now has kind of been aged out to me in a way, because then we have kind of the next level of lasers. And that's like, for example, the CO2 laser that we have. CO2 lasers, I should back up to the perilase tier. CO2 lasers have traditionally cut soft tissue very well. They're also partially attracted to water or absorbed well in water. And so it's kind of been the gold standard for cutting. Rather than a raggedy cut, it's just a smooth gliding cut, right? What the newer hard tissue lasers are is they're still CO2, but they're just at a different wavelength. And just by changing the wavelength, what they have created is the ability to be absorbed into more things. For example, the laser that I have is called Celea by Convergent Dental. So Celea is not absorbed in, it is absorbed into water, so it cuts tissue very well, and very smooth and very clean. But it's also absorbed into, rather than being absorbed in water and exploding water, it's also absorbed into hydroxyapatite, which is a pretty darn significant, you know, 80 to 90% of tooth structure, right? And so what's interesting is that rather than exploding chunks of tooth structure off, this laser will directly ablate. Essentially, it looks like it's dissolving, directly dissolve away tooth structure or bone, right? And a lot of these lasers too, I think the significant thing where I think a lot of the laser technology is going besides low-level laser therapy is having, picking a wavelength that it works on more than one target. So this newest CO2 laser works on hydroxyapatite. It works on water. It works on collagen, right? And it works on plastics. So like it'll dissolve away composite resin like crazy. The reason the collagen one is significant is because it also helps with the bleeding aspect. Diodes stop bleeding by essentially cauterizing, right? Again, electrosurge. The way the CO2 with Celea works is it essentially causes contraction of collagen. And as it fires through, as it's cutting through tissue, it's shrinking the collagen in the surrounding areas, which cuts off lymph vessels, which cuts off blood vessels. And it's more like coagulation. So when you cut with that laser, you don't even get any bleeding happening, right? Then add all those other benefits. So what does that mean? That means with a laser that cuts hydroxyapatite, water, collagen, I can cut enamel, dentin, decayed tooth structure, bone, gums, that thick retromolar pad that is super dense tissue all day long. You can cut anything essentially biological in the mouth with that with that next tier up, right?
And I think that's what you kind of emphasize, where it's like the multi-purpose, multi-use, you know, thing. And ultimately, I think, you know, we start talking about these types of wavelengths where it's like it starts checking a lot of boxes of like, okay, I do this, I do that. And I do want to dive into that also, because I think what I've found is that the uses for some of these laser technologies keeps just getting bigger. I mean, what the researchers develop, because So what wavelength is your CO2 laser that you're currently using?
So that one's 9.3 micron.
Okay, so the 9.3 micron. Ironically, when we look at the research and the dental research and the literature, the bulk of the literature of like the perfect laser is actually not even a 9.3. It's actually a 9.6 with regards to wavelength.
Peak. Yeah.
Yeah. With absorption, hydroxyapatite, and all those things. Now, you know, once, you know, we talked about lasers not all being lasers, but CO2s are not all CO2s, because my medical colleagues use a ton of CO2 lasers for dermatology, for tissue, resection, all that. What's the difference between my medical colleague's CO2 and, say, your 9.3 CO2?
Right. So that's the one we were kind of mentioned earlier, where it's that wavelength is 10.6 micron. So it's just over enough that it kind of misses that hydroxyapatite aspect, but still is absorbed. So you still get all that nice, clean cutting into tissue. But it's just, again, that's why, you know, you brought it up right at the beginning of the podcast, is that, you know, knowing what wavelength is and knowing what the target is kind of key to knowing what the laser itself is going to be able to do. You know, it's kind of mincing words a little bit, but none of these lasers are actually, quote, cutting anything. They're ablating or vaporizing that target. So it's, but the cool net effect of that is, like your medical colleagues, you know, they'll see a straight line cut right through tissue as if it was a scalpel. Yeah, so that's kind of a cool moment to see that too. It's just that by just changing that wavelength, we've entered into, oh, here's some better absorption into these other materials. That makes it work even better for dentistry. But I think dermatology, veterinary science, I mean, you know, you start looking at what biological tissues you can cut with this. I mean, this is definitely have broader applications than just dentistry for sure.
Yeah, and that's, I geek out over lasers, because I just, like, it's like magic. Like, honestly, every time I cut with a laser, I'm like, this, it's like so surreal how you're doing it, because everything that we've done in dentistry is all tactile, right? We're all tactile. And
totally.
All of a sudden now we start cutting stuff with light, and it opens up, it's a paradigm shift, but it also opens up the possibility to do things that were honestly not even possible. And to be able to do things more safely and predictably that I couldn't do, you know, with a burr or the scalpel. So for me, it's opened up these doors. Now, I got to ask, because I'm always interested, like, Jeff, why did you buy a laser, man? Like, why did you get one?
Well, initially, so with this laser, I mean, the kicker with hydroxyapatite is that I can do cavity preparations with no drilling and no numbing. And yes, that sounds crazy. And yes, other companies promised it, but we do it every day, right? And so that was initially why we got it, was to create an experience for our patient that's different from every, you know, potentially other practices out there. You know, when a patient starts thinking, oh, filling, you know, what's the difference between my filling and your filling? You know, filling's a filling, right? Do you take my insurance? How are your Google reviews? You know, like, that's where I want to go. But all of a sudden we start saying, like, oh, for this group of procedures, we now have a way to do this without using the needle or the drill, right? I mean, that's a pretty incredible customer service expression, right? And so that's really why we kind of got into it, is to create a great experience to then, by that point, diversify our practice from everybody else as a practice growth method, right? I never get it exactly right, but basically our practice kind of mission statement is basically to utilize the latest in technology to provide unparalleled care for our patients, right? So with that as our mindset, that's our North Star, so to speak. Okay, well, does this technology match with that? You know, and it absolutely did. But you and I in conversations in past, it's like, now I look at why I got it. I'm like, oh yeah, it does that. It does that. But it does all these other really amazing things. Like, we don't refer crown lengthening out. We do that. You got a root tip that you're extracting, it gets stuck, and you have this little fracture root tip, laser the bone or just laser the root tip away, right? Aesthetic recontouring for all your aesthetic veneer cases. I mean, it just it's more like sculpting tissue than it is like, it's more like, I've used in the past the term, like, it's more like festooning a denture than it is like cutting anything. And it's, so it's opened all these broad things out. And ultimately, to answer kind of your original question, the other reason we got it is this is a tool that allows us to do more procedures without referring them out, right? I mean, if all you knew how to do was fillings and you had to refer out your crowns and your root canals and your extractures and everything, you wouldn't be very busy. But what if there was a tool that would allow you to very easily incorporate more of these procedures and stop referring these procedures out? Well, now that's probably something to invest in. Like I've always said, if you can figure out some kind of contraption to attach this thing to a molar and it just does the root canal for you, I'd buy that in a second. Like, especially molar endo, right? So for us, it's like, what are, not that we don't have great specialists in our town, but what are there things that we can do or invest in that would broaden the amount of CDT codes that we do here, right?
That I think you guys all listen to what Dr. Rohde's saying here. Like he is hammering out it, like, and that's why I don't mean to interrupt you here, man, but no, like this is so important because so many of us get pigeonholed into like what a sales rep tells us we need to do or what we need to do. Like you can do anesthetic free fillings. Like, I don't know about you, but I'm like, the last damn thing I want to do is more fillings. Like, I don't want to do any more fillings. But what you've said, and this, it's not just you, it's others that are utilizing laser technology, is it allows you to level up your practice. So it allows you to expand your scope to do more value-based, emotional-based dentistry, because like we live in a different world. Like when you can keep these procedures like crown lengthening and the patient doesn't even have to go to the periodontist, and oh wait, we can do more, you know, fewer well-planned visits because, oh, instead of having this take like 6 months to heal, this is going to be healed in a couple of weeks and we can go straight to final. Like it opens up this door to develop a culture within your practice. And this is one of the things that I've hammered out, like that is so powerful and important to me, is that like our culture and the emotion-based dentistry that we create. Like I look at like, yeah, I love in-office milling. Like don't get me wrong, like same day dentistry is huge, but like I'm not doing like 15 crowns a day. And I'm not doing, like, when I look at, honestly, by code, the most diagnosed, not necessarily the most done, but the most diagnosed procedure in my practice is probably a class 2 restoration, like by volume of diagnosis. So when you look at opportunities to impact a patient and create an advocate for your practice and drive revenue, drive more like-minded people that aren't insurance-driven or whatever, that value the services you provide, like having that ability to wow them, even on the most basic procedure, like a simple filling, is life-changing for some people. Like we as dentists take this for granted because we want to do all the fancy stuff. Like, I don't get me wrong, I love implants and everything like that. But honestly, most our patients are impacted most by the simple basic things. Our restored, our cleanings, our perio management, our simple restorative, our simple crown and bridge. Like those are the things that drive the true impact to help move the needle to culture. And then eventually it becomes, you know, more what your practice is, where like people come to you for the services you provide. So I didn't mean to get on a sidetrack, but I'm like, I love that you talked about leveling up and expanding your scope, because those are the things that for me, I look at this, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, you know, it's not like you give somebody a hammer and everything's a nail. It was like, all of a sudden I'm like, you give me a hammer and now I'm like, look what I can build. Look what I can create. Because I couldn't contour tissue. I couldn't depigment tissue. I couldn't do crown lengthening. I couldn't, like, all of a sudden my complex restorative cases, like aesthetic cases, I'm like looking at the bigger picture of the gingival architecture, because why? I can control it. And these were fundamental concepts that without the right technology and education, I was missing. And it wasn't like, it wasn't because, oh, I bought this to do fillings. It was like, oh my gosh, I bought a technology that allowed me to grow and expand, and now I just use it for so many different things. So you've kind of talked about all these like big cool things. What I want to also focus, because the big elephant in the room is, oh yeah, there's a huge price difference on the different types of lasers. And like I said before, when people don't understand things, they make decisions based on cost. So talk to me a little bit about the decision of investing, because it is an investment to invest in laser technology, whether it's for hygiene or for you as a restorative all tissue laser. And more importantly, what has been the impact, not only within the culture of your practice and your team members, but also financially and profitability within your practice?
Right. So because it is significantly all these things. I mean, you go from $2,500 for a diode to $150,000, right? I mean, it's an extremely wide range, but then you kind of have to do, okay, what is this tool? So if you're going to buy a Swiss Army knife that just had the toothpick thing in there, or you're going to buy a Swiss Army knife with 84 different levers to pull, right? Well, that I would expect that thing to with 84 things to cost more than the thing with just the toothpick one. So one of the ways we looked at it was, okay, is this going to either increase efficiency, right? Increase efficiency in our practice. Is this going to create opportunity, right? Procedures we were referring out that we can now do. And then the breadth of procedures that it could actually do. I mean, we were talking about CDT codes. We have almost 90 CDT codes that are billable CDT codes that I can do with this laser, right? Versus some more limited perio things. So we do open and closed flap parasurgery. We do open and closed crown lengthening. We use this for extractions. There's a new application for snore treatment where you're tightening up your, back to that shrinking collagen thing, you're tightening up the collagen in the soft palate to prevent the soft palate from fluttering during snoring. So you're opening airways with it. There's a newer application now where you're actually sort of doing a molecular hardening of the tooth structure. So it knocks the carbonate molecule off of hydroxyapatite, which makes it more acid resistant. So think kids about to get braces, treat all those surfaces, and now you just made everything more caries resistant, or doing a laser seal in grooves, right? You know, and like I said, I'll give you an example just from today. Patient comes in, and it is important, I think, to talk about what's the current way we do things. Like, why is this so different? So just this morning, patient comes in, Sclerotian implant in her hand, right? And so her, okay, well, let's just, you know, let's just bolt this thing back on. And I look in there, and the tissue's pretty much grown over the implant because it was out for a week. So think about how you as a general dentist in the middle of a busy day are going to handle that. Just to be transparent, before, what I would have done is referred it to the oral surgeon so they can do the numbing and then raise the flap and then seat the crown back down and then suture everything closed, right? So how did we handle that today? In the middle of a bit, this wasn't a planned thing, right? So in the middle of a busy day, I put a little compound, there was just a tiny little hole left. And so I squirted some compound topical in there, squirted it kind of around the area, waited 60 seconds, and then just lasered the tissue away. And again, it's more like sculpting. It's like I just created this bowl-shaped form, right? That took about 30 to 40 seconds. There's
so
no
that doesn't
bleeding.
That doesn't heat up the implant or cause any problems with the implant, you know,
yeah, so
disintegrating?
This, yeah, no, I'm glad you brought that up, because some lasers, you really have to be careful about that heat transfer. And this one, you can skirt right around the implant, no problem.
This is your 9.3 CO2?
9.3, okay. Yeah. You know, you have a case for a teenager with braces with hyperplastic tissue and it's growing all over the brackets. You can sculpt that tissue back right around the brackets and you don't worry about damaging the brackets. So it's safe around metal. But I basically just sculpted the tissue back. There's no bleeding. Bolted the thing back on. She's going to be healed in about 48 hours from that, especially with the restoration back in place. Now, what was crazy was the total from when I sat down to look at it to when I got up and left the room was less than 10 minutes, right? And maybe that's not going to happen every day, but that's kind of an example of like, how else would I do it? Your case you mentioned earlier on tooth number 18. Okay, now what? Am I going to do a burrectomy and then have them bleed and then have inflammation for the next week and a half? Well, maybe I've even missed where I could have done some bone removal for a biologic width, right? But now I have a tool that actually can sculpt that bone back, sculpt the tissue back, create great margins for the crowns, and you're off and running, right? You know, your original question was, well, how do I differentiate the dollars being spent? And I guess that's kind of the way I describe it is like, this thing does so much on so many levels that I find myself using it throughout the day, every day, right? You can get so deep into a particular refined set of procedures that you may not, you know, like Perilase is a very good laser. Who does Perilase work great on? Perio patients. So what about all the other patients? I mean, and I know a lot of doctors with the CO2 Celea laser that we have that also have Perilase because it's good at and for some of those things. But you kind of, I think when you're addressing the cost, if I now have access to, I mean, just think about what your specialist in your area charges for crown lengthening, and you do 3 or 4 of those a month, you've kind of paid for your laser by a long shot. And that's one application. And now you have this laser that does 90 other CDT codes, you know. So I think it's good to really evaluate what you're going to get out of it, what this tool is actually going to do for you. And also, I've had this conversation too, and my advice would be also don't limit it necessarily how you always inspire, Tim, just doctors to do more and think about more. I think it's good to not think about necessarily only, well, I don't do crown lengthening now, so I don't really see those cases. Well, sometimes we only know what we know, right? Or I should say we only see what we know. You know, the idea is that, well, how many fibromas am I going to possibly cut off a month? Well, before I had a tool that would do it, I wasn't looking for it anyway. I'll give you another example of that is what I feel like I see very often. And I would encourage all you dentists out there for 3D dentists to this week, when you're doing your periodic exams, pull their lower lip down, look right between 24 and 25. And if you see recession there, I guarantee you'll see a little lip tie, a little freedom there pulling on that tissue, causing like an elastic rebound, causing that recession. That is a 30-second procedure with this CO2 laser to cut that. But I wasn't looking for it. And when I started looking for it, all of a sudden I saw patients who had been in our practice for 10 years and I'm like,
hey, you're like, old man, I swear I'm a good dentist. I just, you know, yeah. Now we see it, you know, it's gotten worse now.
Right.
But, right. You know, I think, Jeff, you kind of, you nailed it out of the park with regards to one of the things that I advocate from the standpoint of laser dentistry is it unlocks the potential within your practice. It allows you, like you said, to see more dentistry. And, you know, you see the same thing with implants, like how many, you know, guys that aren't doing placing their own implants in their own practice, you know, you look at how many implants they're restoring and it's not that many. Why? Because they're just not seeing it. And we know this because when we start training dentists to do implant tooth replacement therapy, all of a sudden it's like the biggest referral source is not like outside marketing. It's like, look at your own practice. How many missing single teeth are in your own practice that you're like, I never really had this conversation because there were too many barriers. I had to refer you out. It was going to be this. It was going to be that. And now you can be like, hey, we can do this right here. And, you know, and that's for me is what's unlocked the door of like, okay, how many more biopsies I do? How many frenectomies I do? How many more crown lengthening, gingivectomies, all of these things. And then all of a sudden that compounds because it really what it does is it unlocks the capability of your full mouth dentistry to see big pictures. So as you're growing, you know, especially new dentists, when you get out of school, you just want to be able to do your filling and crown. I get it. And part of that is you got to master that first. Like you got to get really good at that, master it, do great clinical dentistry efficiently. And then you all of a sudden jump into quadrant dentistry. And quadrant dentistry really kind of elevates to the next level of like, hey, CE is really important. I need to start learning the workflows, how to do this before you can jump to that final tier of like full mouth dentistry, which isn't necessarily full mouth, but it's bigger picture. It's looking at the whole face. And laser dentistry allows you to look at the facial structures, the muscles, the soft tissue, the hard tissue in a manner that you never were able to look at it before because you didn't have the ability to do it. Like if I had an eraser to be able to like I love photography. So like, you know, you can like manipulate photos like super easy with Photoshop. Like, man, if I could do that in real life, like just like I'm going to move this line angle here and like change the value here, there, how awesome would that be? And then all of a sudden lasers come around. Holy crap. I can actually like literally sculpt away and paint tissue. It's mind blowing, you guys. So like Jeff, I can't thank you enough for being a part of this. Like it's lasers are so overwhelming for so many new users. It's so important to understand what you're trying to do with it. No laser is a bad laser. Like they all just do different things, some better than others, depending on what you want to do. And so do you want to be that toothpick guy that's just flicking out crap between your teeth? Or do you want to have the capability to do everything? That's Swiss Army knife. And ultimately, as you expand your scope, and I think, Jeff, you said it perfectly with regards to like, if you're doing just fillings or just this, then yeah, 150 grand or 100,000 or 60,000 or 8,000 for a laser is not, doesn't make sense to do fillings. But the moment you start unlocking the capability of what's possible within your practice, maybe you aren't there now, but as you continue to level up within your journey, all of a sudden these things start making more sense. And so before we close here tonight, I always like to ask everybody, I'm like, all right, Jeff, if you were going to go back and talk to yourself day one, hey, I'm right out of dental school with regards to clinical dentistry. If you could, knowing what you know now and the practice that you built now, what would you tell yourself from an advice standpoint if you could tell yourself something day one, like, hey, do this, do that. It's going to set you on the right trajectory.
Well, the first thing I'd probably say is as big as your student loans feel, you're going to do okay. I mean, they will get paid off. That I mean, it's like, I think now we get out of school and we're in this mountain of debt. And, you know, especially if you've been in school during COVID years, it's like it was already a madhouse and now you're getting out and trying to look for jobs and you just need to work. I mean, the two things I would say that would be based on advice to my younger self would be, number one, decide what dentistry you want to do before someone else tells you the dentistry that you're going to do. Ooh, right. You have to decide, like, I don't want to compromise. So I don't, for example, I don't want to work in a place that's so bonus driven that we end up advising people to do a bunch of dentistry that they don't need. Right. So if that's where you are, then stick with that level of integrity, take care of people, and you are going to be successful beyond what you can imagine. Right. The second thing would be you're right out of school. I'm so tired of learning. My brain is full. I'm done. Right. Like I want to kind of like stop learning and start doing. Well, absolutely enjoy that moment. But also, and Tim, you kind of alluded to this too, I think we owe it to ourselves to really understand the broader scope of what all these different specialties do. So I think you should learn how to do implants. Number one, they're not that hard, right? Especially with things like guided surgery right now, absolutely learn it. And it's not that you're going to do every case, but, you know, we still refer cases out all the time. But the main thing is that instead of sitting in there and you're looking at a patient and they're missing a tooth and you're like, oh, I don't know, maybe you could do an implant here. Why don't I send you to the oral surgeon and let's see what they say. My hope for you all would be to be able to look at any case, look at a perio situation, an implant situation, any type of surgical thing. And again, know how to comprehensively treatment plan. No, the patient walks in with crowded teeth and they want veneers, that maybe we need a short course of clear aligner therapy to better position the roots of the teeth so I don't have to shave as much of the teeth off, right? But if I'm not doing some kind of clear aligner therapy or haven't taken that class, I might not even bring that into my, you know, my Swiss Army knife kit, right? Definitely keep learning, keep discovering, become kind of, there was a time in dentistry we didn't have specialists, right? You were it as a GP, for example. You did all of it, including oral surgery, right? And now we have incredible specialists that we get to work with every day. But, you know, I would encourage you to become sort of renaissance dentists, where you have a full ability to do more in your office and to understand better how to accurately treatment plan for your patients. And then that will actually increase the number of things you're doing in your office anyway. Then when something like laser technology comes and falls in your lap, you're like, I already philosophically know that this is going to make an impact in my practice. Another friend of ours, David Fantarella, he's a fantastic dentist out in Connecticut. He has a saying, it's like chance favors the prepared mind. Well, prepare your mind now. Prepare your mind for learning, for discovery, so that when these newer technologies come around in dentistry, you're going to be prepared to be like, boom, I already seen the direction. Because things like lasers, gang, lasers are the future of dentistry, no question. They will be integrated in. So what side of that do you want to be on in some ways, right? So keep learning going and broaden your scope of what you, you know, what you originally thought. GPs are kind of like our orthodontics that we got in undergrad or in school was about 1/4 long, and we bent some retainer wire and it was like, okay, we're just going to give it all of that, you know, but now we do a ton of clear aligners in our office and it's integrated and we learned it. Now I can look at someone and go, you're a great candidate, or we should refer you to a specialist, right? For your orthodontics, right? So keep the learning going. It's going to broaden your mind. It's going to expand the capabilities of your practice and for your team too. So
Well said, my friend. I'm so grateful to have you in my life. I'm glad that you came on here with us today. You know, as Jeff mentioned, you know, learning is everything. CE, you know, we try to simplify things here on the podcast for you guys and really kind of open your eyes. You know, one of our sponsors, 3D Dentists, you know, if you're looking for an area to learn this tooth replacement therapy or aligners or ortho, you know, or how to implement airway and sleep in your practice, you know, we'd love to have you come check us out at 3D-dentist.com. So with that, Jeff, thank you so much for joining us. I wish you guys all a good night. We will see you next week. And yeah, thanks for joining. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe so you get notified when all the new content is released. And don't forget to rate, review, and share this podcast with all your friends and colleagues. For more information about all things happening within the 3D Dentist family, follow us at www.3d-dentist.com. Thanks for listening, and I hope you are leaving with new insights to help transform and level up your practice. Until next time, keep smiling.